Jesus, wir loben dich und wir danken dir auch für diese
Konferenz. Lord Jesus, we praise you and thank you for this conference, for this word, for this conference. Against all outward bounds, and we trust in you that you go further with us. You are the Lord, and you are the living in us and in our spirit. Guide us, Lord Jesus, and we praise you. You are faithful to your church.
Amen. Der Herr hat ein wunderbares Werk.
Yes, the Lord has a wonderful
work tut
und which he is doing right now.
Gut auf sein Wirken und sein
Leiden. And it's good for us to take care about his work and his leading. He is the Lord. And it is not a small thing.
Diese Offenbarung von Johannes uns zeigen will, ist auch,
and what this revelation of John wants to show us is like many other verses in the Bible show that he is the Lord and he reigns. And he reigns differently than we might think as humans. And he is reigning in a very wonderful way through his life. And we have part of his life. And we have part on so many things. And that's why it's called Testament, New Testament. We have part, and we have inherited something as an inward, precious thing. And this, precious thing is what he uses to finish his plan. And we do not want to just read scripture. These verses might in Revelation might want to show us something which is far away from us. We see a vision, an image, where no one will ever come to an image of God surrounded by living beings, surrounded by 24 elders.
And
in its midst, there's a lamb. You can look at it just as an image in front of you, a nice image. Or maybe a scary image.
Aber das Wesen ist, dieses Bild hat eine Wahrheit,
but zu verkündigen hat. The essence is that this image has a truth, which it is expressing. Yeah, and we like scenes, like video clips. Maybe sometimes my grandson comes and asked me if I can show him some videos, and he wants to have a moving image, a moving picture, and this image which we can see here in Revelation is eternally true. It is true 2,000 years ago, and it is true today. This call in the heaven, who is worthy to open this the seals? Nirgendwo war jemand, nobody was worthy, not in the water, not in the heaven, not on earth, and not even the angels, they have no part of this.
Kein Tier, kein Engel.
Yeah, it can only be a man. No angel, no animal. It had to be a man who fulfilled everything. And he wants to fulfill everything. Through him, God created the earth in Colossians 1:15. Through him, he created the earth. Everything in existence is because of him. And through him, God has shown himself on this earth and fulfilled everything what a man had to do. And that's why he said on the cross, it is complete, it is fulfilled. Yesterday you saw this timeline. And then there's a new timeline. A new part. And it is regarding another man apart from Jesus Christ, but only on the surface. Because this Jesus who fulfilled everything on the cross is now in spirit among them, among us. And yeah, until now he is working in us, with us. And it's not only our doing with the Spirit, but it is also the Lord on the throne who is arranging everything in sovereignty, situations, meetings. He, is arranging it. Do we know this? Yeah, this wonderful, we have to look at this Jesus who has everything. Who's all encompassing, all in. He's in the midst of the throne. Maybe sometimes you can cry like John cried because he did not see anyone who was worthy. Yeah, maybe sometimes we cry if we look at our own unworthiness. Yeah, there's no one who is righteous. You can just cry about that. No one is righteous. And we might, we all suffer under this, under our own unrighteousness and under the unrighteousness of others. And we may cry regarding the situations in the world. Do not cry. Look, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. Yeah, praise the Lord. They looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as though it had been slain.
In the Mitte des Thrones Gottes.
In the midst of the throne of God, the Lamb and the Father, they have one position. And we should honor the Lamb like the Father and the Father like the Lamb. They are one. They are in unity together.
Ein Lamm stehen wie geschlachtet.
A lamb, standing like it had been slain, like freshly slain.
Anscheinend geschlachtet, aber dennoch lebendig.
Yeah, it had been slain, but it is still alive, and it has it has seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Now we see this global character of our Lord Jesus Christ, slain, but still seven spirits sent into all the world. Praise the Lord. You know, you see here many discrepancies. A lion is the king of the animals. You cannot see in a lion who is fearful. He will not become fearful, but he will get aggressive. You may not win over a lion so easily. This is our Lord, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Yeah, on the other hand, it is this slain lamb, killed by people, very weak to the uttermost. Yeah, killed and slain by men, with the unrighteous. Yeah, and then there were the weak disciples, and then there were some women, hopeful or strong. But yeah, it shows, we can see from the lion to the lamb, this distance, we can see how wide our Lord is. Everything between reign and total weakness, this is included in our Lord. He is weaker than every one of us, and he is stronger than any one of us. And this Christ, he is our part. He is our part. He is ours. He belongs to us. Yeah, we might be weak, but he was even weaker. And he's also the lion. And sometimes he might, give us strength through his resurrection life. And sometimes he says, just take my grace and let it be enough. Read this word and see. It is not only the Lord who we follow, we have a connection. It is the Lord who is our part. Yeah, he's on the cross, but he's also resurrected. A lamb with seven eyes and seven horns. Yeah, this also includes everything. I appreciated what a brother said. He saw the seven horns in Ephesians 6 and says, look power we have in prayer. This is our portion. This lamb. Ephesians 6 shows the church as this fighter against the enemy, against the fallen man, against everything which is old. A great fighter, mighty to bind and to loose, to take captive. Through the Lord, we are strong. And then they sing a new song there. Yeah, 2,000 years ago, it just happened. Christ is crucified and resurrected. And today it is the same, and it's still our portion, and it's close to us. And they sing, you are Yeah, and they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and you have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation." Yeah, you have redeemed us to God by your blood. Who is redeemed by his blood? I think we all are redeemed. In German it says bought. We belong to him. He bought us. Bought. And why bought? Yeah, why? And because he has made us kings and priests to our God.
Das Lamm hat sein Blut vergossen. Für uns, für unsere Erlösung. Für unsere Befreiung von unserer Schuld.
The Lamb, yeah, it has shed his blood for us, for our sin, on our burden. And it's good to come to him. The Lord, before he can accept us, has to clean us, cleanse us through his precious blood. This is, yeah, take this blood. Say, Lord, cleanse me from my sin and forgive me my sin. Is this so hard? Did you not say that for a long time? Say it again. Lord, forgive me my sins. My
Schuld.
The one who is carrying sin and debt with himself, it is not good as a Christian. Yeah, the Lord says to 5 of 7 churches, repent. Yeah, and we often act like we don't need repentance or cleansing. Everyone is in need of cleansing, of sanctification. No one is without sin and blemish. Only the Lamb. Take his precious blood, which was shed for our sanctification, for our sin. The Lord has redeemed us, and it's not just because of our sin. It's also that this path is free again. I've heard from persons who had faith, but they said, "Oh, I cannot believe." And I thought, "Oh, how can this be? How can he not believe? There's a blockade." Sometimes it is sin. Yeah, sometimes in his soul he is on the wrong track. He's completely looking at himself. Yeah, if someone is looking just at himself, at some point they cannot believe. So what do... Yeah, does someone like that have to do? He has to look at the lamb with the 7 horns, in faith. Tell him, I believe in you, Lord Jesus. Yeah, tell the Lord, I look upon you, and you are close to me in my heart. And the path out of our own self is to talk to him. Do we talk with the Lord, and we come into the Spirit? Where else should we come? Yeah, let us talk about the word with the Lord. Do you know? When the brothers took this these verses in Revelations, I did not have the impression, oh, this is the word for us now at this conference. But the more we had this fellowship about this word, I realized it's exactly what we need. Yeah, it was just the fellowship and the prayer over this word, which, yeah, showed it. We need this. We need to beschäftigen. We have to have faith and engage with the word. Let's go further and see what is here in verse 10. Have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. And with this, we will close the conference today. We are a priestly kings. Are you redeemed by his blood? Do you belong to him? And the next question is, why? Or for what? For what purpose am I redeemed? You're redeemed as a kings and priest, as a priestly or a kingly priest or priestly king. And we are redeemed to a heavenly kingly priesthood. And there's only one priest, one high priest, and he is the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone else is just a priest. Forget everything else, what you've learned in religion about priests. Forget everything you got taught about priesthood or just let the Lord shine. Lord, show me. Show me what it means. And a very important point is that we have to reign in life. This is the kingly part. He reigns in life in a very different way than the world is reigning. Yeah, a kingly priest lets the Lord reign in his life, and I'm someone who takes richly from the Lord and fills himself with the Lord and then reigns in life. And we definitely, at least partly, received experienced that, how the Lord gave us sovereignty. Also to reign over our own self. If Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, then he says, in other words, my old man is dominated, controlled by Christ. The Lord has finished my old self. It is the past. We are already crucified with Christ. This is this wonderful truth. I died with Christ, and directly I am in the position of victory, because we are in his victory. We think way too small about us, about ourselves. we might underestimate ourselves and our prayer. We underestimate our prayer. And this is because we underestimate ourselves. We have too little awareness. We have too little awareness of our new nature, Christ in us, who is our portion. We have Christ as our portion, and He's living as a whole in us, and He is rich, unbelievably rich in this in our relationship. And in Hebrews 7, this Christ is described to us as this high priest. In verse 28, Hebrews 7, 26, for such a high priest was fitting for us, before that he is described to us, therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, and he always lives to make an intercession for them. Yeah, he is this high priest in front of us. And he has not only given his life for our salvation, he's also living for us to make intercession for us. And he is this high priest. Yeah, 26. For such a high priest was fitting for us. Yeah, every part of this Christ is fitting for me to replace me. Or, if I give the Lord, if I say I'm crucified with Christ, then, I give him room to grow in me. Yeah, he was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. Higher than the heavens. As far as you can think, he's higher, he's farther. Here, it is not just about earthly dimensions, it's about spiritual dimensions. We underestimate ourselves and our work. This is the Spirit, the Christ. Yeah, we are too much self-aware and too little aware of Christ. And we are too self-bewusst. Yeah, our own awareness, our own self-assurance, self-confidence is too big. We have to be Christ-oriented. We have to look upon Christ. Our own self-confidence has two components, which are very damaging. We overestimate ourselves in a wrong way, and we also underestimate ourselves in a wrong way. The one who is underestimating himself, I am not able, I can do nothing, I will not finish anything. Maybe your teacher or whoever in the fourth grade said, you will never come to do anything. And this poor soul is now still thinking about this. Even if you are 50 years old, you still think, I will never amount to anything. And the other one, he's all the time working that his own self is in the middle of everything and that everyone can see who he is. Oh, look, this is me. Wow, now I come. Oh, yeah, I also have to say something. Oh, I know something. Oh, I was searching and I saw in the internet and read this and that. This is the self-confidence. It is strengthened more and more every again and again. Yeah, it's hard to get away from it, but this vision upon Christ has to be strengthened. Yeah, we have to say, I am in Christ in eternity, hopefully, definitely, till our last day. What is after our death, this is in God's hand. But today, in this time, we decide what is happening. Yeah, and we cannot underestimate ourselves in a spiritual light. Yeah, because we have this Christ, and the scripture says, in Christ, the fullness of God is living. In this man, Christ. Can you believe that? Yeah, maybe this is, you can believe that more or less. But that this fullness is now living in us, that's hard to believe and hard to see. But we can testify and confess it. Lord, I am crucified, I live you. This is also a saying in faith which brings something forth in light and in fullness. We look upon him, and the more we look upon him, yeah, do you know, in 2 Corinthians 3:18, we have read it often in this conference, and it's very good. Yeah, by looking upon our Lord Jesus, maybe outwardly of us, in spirit, in the word, in scripture, but still a reality in our spirit, through that, yeah, we are transformed. Yeah, you know, this whole reality is just like in a glass of water, and on the very bottom of this glass there's maybe some juice. The juice is in there, and what do we want? Do we want to drink water? And in the end, the juice, which is on the bottom, the juice concentrate. Yeah, but we just have to stir our glass. And every, looking unto the Lord, if we look upon him, then it is such a stirring. And suddenly we taste, oh, this is my Christ. Oh, I've received this wonderful Christ. He tastes wonderful, so good. This is amazing. I want to experience this more. Every prayer, every testimony is such a stirring of the class. Yeah, every testimony we heard yesterday, so many testified that, yeah, through a testimony, they experience the Lord wonderfully. Yeah, you know, the gospel is a message which makes us happy. And if we take this gospel into our mouth, we become happy ourselves. Yeah, have fellowship with others, with saints, with people in the world. What a joy to talk about the gospel. And then we stir up something which is real in my spirit. And if it's just in the bottom of the class, then I might not have joy or have faith or the taste. So, maybe you should stir it up a little. And then you will realize what kind of Christ you have. You know, to be a priest, it was work earlier, because this word, you know, comes from the Old Testament. You know, in Exodus, there God tells the people of God, I want you to be a people of kingly priests. And where's this verse also written? These words of God. Does somebody know? Or we can find it in 1 Peter 2, verse 9. And then also in Revelations 1.
Und dann Offenbarung.
And then later in Revelation, it is so important, especially in Revelation, that the last part of the story, that we can see we are priests, and these priests are active, and it is work, just like in the old days, in the tabernacle, and it was sometimes hard work, sometimes not, but they were all active, and they taught, everyone taught, the tribe of Levi, they did not get any part of the land. This chosen tribe did not receive anything. But yeah, what did they receive? They received God as their part. Would you like to, or will you work for God as your part? Work hard for God as your part? Would you stop working your job to work for the Lord completely, and you do not know if anyone will ever pay you again? You just give yourself completely for the Lord and his plan. I've not seen this for a long time. God, my part. Yeah, and it's also like that, the more the Lord is our part, the more we are ready to give ourselves to him. And the lamb, bought or redeemed man for God. And these priests, we belong to God. Who does not want to belong to God? Who does not want to be holy and sanctified to God? Yeah, and it's our calling to serve our Lord until the end. And we think about it. How can we serve our God more? Not only a little here and a little there, how we have time, like we have time, but to serve him completely. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ. We really are this royal priesthood. We learn to serve the Lord, we learn to pray, and I praise the Lord. We have so many saints in the church who serve the Lord. And they actually bring sacrifices to the saints, to the throne, like it is written in the end in Hebrew.
Also durch Christus, Gott, alle Zeit ein Lobopfer darbringen, das ist die Frucht der Lippen, die seinen Namen bekennen. Das ist Hebräer 13.
Ah, it's Hebrews 13, verse 15 and 16. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but do not forget to do good and to share for which such sacrifices God is well pleased. Yeah, do not forget everything what religion does with their sacrifices. It is just, because of some rules or, traditions. This is the real sacrifice, to share with others, to forget everything else. It is the wrong way to be a priest, it's an abuse of priesthood. Do not do what people say or teach. And if a person gives you, or if the Lord gives you a work which he has prepared for you, do it. Often we have this work directly in front of our feet. Then you do not have to wait long. Just do it. We stand in front of the Lord as priests. Like then the sons of Zadok.
Zu diesen Söhnen Zadoks, dieses Priestergeschlecht, was sich treu dem Herrn erwiesen hat,
this tribe which were truthful, faithful to the Lord tells them, you shall stand in front of me. This is a priest who shall stand in front of me. A wonderful service. Everything else you can forget. These are words coming from the Old Testament, and also images, but we cannot overuse these images. But what they simply say, we can see, and we serve the Lord and the brothers and sisters, the saints. And I praise the Lord. There is so much service in his church. And I want to invite you, to serve in the church. And I do not want to say, oh, we need here for childcare or, for audio service. We need help. But I want to ask you to serve the Lord and the saints. And like Paul says in 2 Corinthians, they gave themselves to the Lord firstly and then us for this service. First the Lord and then man. This is a new vision. First the Lord, and then man, and then the saints. Brothers and sisters, such a glorious fullness we have in the church. We have in us, and even more in the church. It's so good that we have this priesthood, where we encourage each other and give us life and
lass uns doch ein bisschen graben.
And inspire us. Yeah, in the church everything is available. Let us dig a little and not think, oh, it is again time to go to the meeting. I really have to do this. No, the meeting is very important. It's really important. Yeah, also to be quick to come together and start right away. It starts with me. If I come to the meeting, then I start to talk to the Lord, to have fellowship with Him. And we, yeah, want to really know Him more and know Christ in me more. Yeah, we have this treasure in earthly vessels. Why is He always talking about superlatives? The complete fullness of Christ is living in us. The church is His body, the fullness of the one who fulfills everything in all. So many superlatives. In the fellowship of the priests, there's so much richness, so much experience, and we experience this daily, but please be not passive. This world today is so oriented to consume a lot. And if we are consumers, we get more and more passive. And this is for young and old, but especially for the young, it is so detrimental, harmful. Yeah, it is much better to do something active. It is even better for our body, for our mind. It's better to be active than to just lay around passive. Where do you want to go? Where do you want to come to? In the end, you might be completely isolated. Look for fellowship, then your horizon might be thinner and smaller and smaller. I don't think you can be a priest in isolation if you are completely limited. You need the priesthood, you need the tabernacle, you need the house of God, the church. Yeah, we all of us are so rich. You cannot underestimate yourselves. You are rich. What does Paul say? I want to read it to you if you do not believe it. And he writes it to the church in Corinth. It is unbelievable. I thank you, my God. It is in the very beginning, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by Him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is this true for us? Do you believe that? Yeah, then dig in Christ the good land. There this treasure is. Do not look somewhere else. This treasure is nowhere else. This treasure is not in good preachers. This treasure is not in some myths and stories which you can read in the internet. Yeah, these are all things which want to distract us from the treasure and want to put a veil in front of our eyes. And afterwards there's something else. In 1 Corinthians, in verse 9, God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Yeah, we are called into the fellowship, we are called priests. And then he starts to, admonish them. Yeah, he starts admonishing. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Yeah, for it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Yeah, the fullness is his body, and if his body is separated, we have nothing to do with that. We stand fast. If someone is thinking about if someone thinks he should separate from somewhere, from the church, then we have to be careful. Yeah, we have nothing to do with them. We do not want to separate, and we know these people will not receive the fullness. You can see the fullness if the body is together in unity. Already a small disagreement or a small fight can have problems that you cannot experience the fullness of the body. Cleanse your heart and search the brothers and sisters. Yeah, brothers and sisters, there's so much warning in there, and I just wanted to talk about the fullness. Yeah, and if you look at Paul, he always describes the fullness, and then he gives a warning. And don't think that we just have the fullness and cannot forget, and then we can forget about everything else. And I want to take some time to show this to you. And in Colossians 2, verse 2, he says, or to 2 verse 9, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And shortly afterwards he says, so I let not no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival, or a new moon, or the Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. If someone is pulling you into the mind and not encouraging your spirit and your love to the Lord, forget it. Have no contact. This is dead. Death.
Aufgeblasen von dem Denksinn seines Fleisches und nicht das Haupt festhält.
Let no one, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments grows with the increase that is from God. And then he continues to give warnings. Also, in Colossians 2, verse 2, Paul is praying that the hearts may be knit together in love. In love. Of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Brothers and sisters, there was this doctrine which was called gnosis. And it was said that it is about knowledge, about a special knowledge. And many people today say they have some special insight. Yeah, insight which no many people know. Maybe, a secret society who has secret knowledge. But yeah, in here, in whom are hidden. In verse 4 he says, "Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words." Let us take this with us. Yeah, we have this wonderful Christ, and we have all the riches, all what we need, and we need the diligence of a priest who is always going forward to the Lord and takes from him and is filled by him, so that we are all filled up until the complete fullness of Christ. Yeah, and we take what we have received and we share it, and by sharing we become even more rich. And brothers and sisters, what is in the end? The bride of Christ. The bride of Christ. The woman of the, the bride of the Lamb. And we love him. And we want to marry him in the end, to be in unity with him. We have the Lord who has a plan. And we pray that he will quickly fulfill his plan. What we enjoy here is just a part of the of eternity, not patchwork. Yeah, patchwork are things which will stop, like talking in tongues and knowledge. But what is staying, what is eternal, is Christ, and this bride will be, richly. We look very precious, full of precious stones, and has and do not think that having fellowship over Zoom will build us up alone. But the Lord wants to have our lives. You can still hide your own self behind the screen, but the Lord wants to have a build of church, to have fellowship over Zoom. Yeah, the Lord blessed it richly in this time. And I want to say, he has given this as a gift, so we can have fellowship, even if we obey these laws, and we, but this is just for a passing time, and it is also a test for our faith. Here, it is tested. If not everything is going according to we know, or according to what we plan, suddenly everything is shaken. It is a good opportunity that our heart, is tested. Many people are abgelenkt, distracted. We want to be his church, his bride, who is waiting for him with a pure heart. Like Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, 2 and 3, that he will bring this bride to Christ. This bride who is pure, simple, not not with a high amount of knowledge and teaching, but yeah, in purity and simpleness of Christ. This is his church. Praise the Lord.